member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 5th of December, Anno Domini 2015, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Oh, a company you do business with. Hi, how are you? Oh, a company you do business with was breached.
Take two.
No, take two. We'll fix it in post. No biggie. You probably won't die or be sold to a Russian white slavery botnet cartel, probably. But your data will. Somebody. It's really hard to come up with a sector that hasn't been hit by a big data breach in the last 5 years. Health insurance files? Check. Classified government personnel records? Check. Hotels, banks, retailers, credit card companies, crowdfunding platforms, online hookup sites, video game companies, Hollywood giants, cable and broadband providers. The list is endless. If that realization makes you weep openly, then definitely don't look at the Breach Level Index, a centralized global database. The counter on BLI's site, Records Lost Since 2013, sits at 3,430,291,647 as of yesterday at about 4:30 p.m. BLI's 2014 annual report said 76% of the records snatched in breaches came from North America, ensuring that we never, ever want to use a computer again. That puts North America's 2014 total at 2,607,021,652 records, over seven times the population of North America. Most of 2014's breaches saw attackers make off with our identifiable information, like names, addresses, and social security numbers. In a letter sent to T-Mobile and Experian in the wake of the breach, three U.S. senators told the CEOs just how screwed we little people are. Social security numbers are hard to change and are tied to tax forms, credit cards, mortgages, bank accounts, health insurance, and medical records, they wrote. By learning someone's social security number, a criminal can obtain credit cards in a victim's name, wire money from a victim's bank account, or even access tax and medical records. The good news, if there's a bright side to whistling past the graveyard of data privacy, is that we're all in this together. The good news is that having your identity stolen because some mega corporation cares more about shareholders or image or hoovering your intimate data and selling it to the highest bidder is now everyone's problem. Finding out our entrusted data got stolen feels more and more like another car alarm going off in the city, an unscheduled annoyance that doesn't really surprise us, but something we really need to for the responsible party to fix. Just now, it's finally happening to Silicon Valley's elite, and everyone we're inclined to blame, too. And the fact that the security industry predicted this mess doesn't seem to matter in the least. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is everybody's been breached. And your choices are, sigh, I know. I'm pretty sure not me. Who steals my purse steals trash. And I'm still on XP, so no worries. Right now, we've got about 22 people who have voted, and Psy, I know, is number one. Followed, of course, by I'm still on XP, so no worries. And I know you'll have more to say about this, so if you scroll down on the right-hand side of the screen, you'll see under Fascinating Stuff, you'll see the forums. And if you click on the forums, the second forum in the list is the poll discussion. And currently, the number one topic, the first topic in the poll discussion is everybody's been breached. So you can add your information there, of course. You can also give us a call here, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
And we had a link in last week's show, Have I Been Pwned?
Still on the front page now. You put in your email address, and it will tell you if your email address has been leaked in one of the breaches, which means the password you used on that service was leaked. And if you use the same password on multiple service, and a lot of people do, then you're really in deep trouble.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we've been preaching for the longest time. Never reuse passwords. Never use the same password twice. I know that's hard because we all like to pretend we're stupid and that we can't remember a lot of passwords. But in fact, you can. You know you can. And you really should. You should pay attention and make sure that every password on every site is unique. And not just password one, password two, password three.
Quit giving my password out. That's the same password I have in my luggage.
I was just going to say that. I said that the other day in class. I said, what movie is that from? One kid went, Spaceballs.
Of course.
Like, you idiot, of
course. Although, probably the kids in your class are all younger than that movie.
Yeah, they all are, yeah. Yeah, sadly, yeah. So, yeah, it's important. It's important. Everything has been breached. We know that. But if they've got your password from one thing, no, not if. They have your password from at least one thing. So if you reuse that password somewhere else, they've got that now too. So it is important to make sure your passwords are all different. And there are lots of ways that you can help yourself remember passwords. Some people write them in a little book. I don't know that I recommend that, but it's doable.
Put the book under lock and key.
Keep the book under lock and key. Some people use programs like LastPass or the key ring in the Mac or Linux or wherever. So there's a lot of ways that you can get your computer to help you remember this stuff, but it is important long passwords. Passwords of 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 or 12 characters is not a long password anymore. There's a thing called rainbow tables. And what happens is, this is particularly a Microsoft problem. Microsoft will encrypt your password. When you put it in, when you log into a machine, you put in your password that first time, it saves it in a special file, and that file is encrypted. The problem is Microsoft hasn't changed that algorithm since the very first version of Windows. So everybody knows what the algorithm is. So what the bad guys have done is they take a series of words, one character, two characters, three characters, every possible combination and permutation, and they run it through that algorithm, and they save it as a table. Now, when they get to your machine, if they can grab that file that it's saved in, now it's just a database lookup. It's not a brute force attack. It's nothing. It's just a database lookup. Here's the thing. Rainbow tables are now, the last I looked, I should probably look again, rainbow tables are like 17 characters. So you have to have a minimum of an 18-character password. Again, when you have a program like LastPass or the keychain that's in your computer, it will remember that for you. So you can put in a very long password. And again, a long password doesn't have to be complex. Computers don't speak any languages. So J4327 exclamation point is as understandable to a computer as I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree, 34 exclamation point. And the longer one takes longer to break, is harder to break.
The bad guys don't know how long it is, so they try every possible combination.
Right.
And one character, two character, three character, four character.
Right.
And so the shorter your password is, the faster they will break it.
The quicker they get to it. There's a website called grc.com, Gibson Research Corporation, yep. .com.
/haystacks.
Right. And he does all kinds of, he's the guy who wrote SpinRite, and he writes everything in hand-coded assembler, and I both envy and hate him. But he has a thing called the haystack, the password haystack. And you can put in a representative password. Although I trust Steve Gibson, I would suggest you not put in your actual password, but something similar to it. and you can see how long it would take to break. And when you get down to the bottom and you see that, you know, some of those passwords take a quarter of a second, you think to yourself, well, maybe I really ought to change that password and make it a little more difficult to crack.
One thing it doesn't check for are the rainbow tables. So it just calculates the amount of time it would take for those number of characters. So yeah, I type in password, which is 8 characters, which, you know, 8 characters is kind of a long password. But
No, it isn't.
Right, not anymore. Since password is such a common password, it's in the tables that the bad guys always check. So you think you're using a bunch of characters. In fact, what was the big one? There is no fate but what we make was a common password a couple years ago. It's very, very long. Turns out to be a very popular quote from the Terminator movie.
Right.
So don't use popular quotes. So there are things called dictionary attacks. The bad guys will feed a dictionary into it. And now they're adding Bartlett's familiar quotations, and they're adding IMDb famous quotes.
And they're adding song lyrics.
And song lyrics, yeah. So long.
One of the most popular ones for a long time was Trust No One.
Yep.
Either with O-N-E or the number one, because X-Files.
Yep.
And so it would be one of the first ones people would check. And names of particular football players, baseball players, they're all in there. They're all in there. So every sport. So pick something slightly unusual.
In fact, we're trying to get away from saying password and use passphrase.
Right.
It should be more than one word. It should be several words, because then that cuts down on dictionary attacks. But don't make it a famous phrase, because now you're into the famous phrase attack.
Right. Right. So if you were to use, for example, I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree, that's probably one of the ones they're putting in the rainbow tables. If, however, you were to use There Are Strange Things Done in the Midnight Sun by the Men Who Moil for Gold, that's more unlikely. So... You really need to pay attention to what your passwords are going to be and put a little bit of thought into them. Cheese and crackers, these are the things that protect your money.
Right.
You know, these are the things that protect your identity. Spend more than 8 seconds thinking about it.
In fact, most of the password generator or password management programs will generate 20, 30, 40 character passwords. So, you know, you have no hope of remembering them, which is okay. But remember your main computer password. Now, we get that all the time in our shop. You know, what's your password? I don't know.
Right.
Or it never asks me. Well, that wasn't my question. You created a password when you turned the machine on for the very first time, and that might have been 5 years ago. But that password is needed for administrative functions, you know, doing things in the computer.
Well, and here's what I love. People will say, can you get that out for me? Can you get that back? Well, yes, because I can run rainbow tables.
Yeah.
But I am going to charge you for that.
Yeah, how much time do you want to charge me for?
It's going to take time and effort. It would be a lot easier and cheaper for you if you remembered it.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of times they'll sit there, no, I don't have a password, because they put it in once.
Yeah, never
even
thought about
it. A long, long time ago. And they just know that they just open that program, click on it, and
never
it goes.
Ask for it again. But with your main computer password, you can get into all of your other passwords.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, your LastPass, your OnePass, your KeyPass, your Keychain, you know, any of these password managers. Once you have that main password, you can look up all the other passwords.
Here's the other one I love. Well, it's going to be one of these three. No, first, now you're telling me all your passwords.
Yeah.
Secondly, you only have three. Unless you only have three places you ever go, you don't have enough passwords.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you can do, if you are taking your computer in for service, if it's still working enough, make a new administrator account for the shop. So
yes.
A lot of people don't want to give us their password because...
Right.
We can get into their stuff. Well, a lot of times we have to get into your stuff because that's what you want us to fix.
Right.
But, you know, make a new account, an administrator account, and that often can do what we need it to do.
Right.
And then you don't have to worry about us getting into your stuff, because even with one administrator password, you can't see the other administrator passwords.
Right.
You can change them, but you can't see them.
You can't see. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's... There are a lot of things that you can do to make your life actually, in the long run, easier, but more importantly, safer. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. And we have somebody on the line. We have Paul from East Rochester on the line. We'll get to you in just a minute, Paul. It's 19 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. I am hooked on a feeling. There we go. And we have Paul from East Rochester on the line. Hiya, Paul. What's up?
Hi. I had a comment from earlier. I told everybody about Viper Internet Security. I had some issues with it. It was making all my other programs run very slow.
Right.
I switched to Norton Internet Security. It runs a lot faster. Like, why is it like that? Why are these different internet security programs? One makes your programs run like a lot faster than the other one.
Well, the problem, generally speaking, is that different qualities of programmers, to be entirely honest about it. You get people who are very, very good at programming, and they're hired by places like Norton. And then you have other people who are not as good at programming, and they get hired at places like Viper. And it may well be that there was some blockage in your system. Sometimes, you know, depending on what they've written the software in, there's an underlying runtime that is not very good. I mean, there's a million reasons why one piece of software works better than another piece. But when you get a company like Norton, they actually, you know, go that extra mile to make sure that their programs are optimized, particularly for something like an antivirus program.
And one of the sort of general issues with an antivirus program is that it has to look at every file you open as you open it to make sure it's not a virus. And so
right.
That inherently can slow things down. And Norton had a horrible reputation over the years as being really, really, really slow. And they apparently hurt us. And the last couple versions of Norton have been much, much faster than they used to be.
Well, I'm opening, for example, Purin Utilities. Are you familiar with it? I'm sorry, I got a beep. I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to ignore the beep.
Okay.
I'm opening Purin Utilities. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Okay, I got another beep, and I'll have to wait. It's just that the program is it allows you to defragment your hard drive, and it puts an automatic defrag in there, and it also puts there's like 18 other utilities in the program.
Okay,
there's a lot of these sort of cleaning and utility programs, and many of them are less than reputable. So it's very important to make sure you get a reputable one.
Right. Well, this one seems to be that way. I mean, I got it from Major Geeks. But
sometimes other stuff can creep along with it or attach itself to the download.
Oh.
And sometimes, especially from some of the, well, everyone has to make money. Or they have to earn their money somewhere. And so download.com and Major Geeks and a lot of the major downloading sites will include advertising software or toolbars as part of your download.
I didn't get that at all.
That's good.
And I wouldn't download something with a toolbar on it anyways. I tell people to stay away from that stuff.
Good.
Well, you don't know it's in there until you're going through the install, and you have to read every install screen and uncheck the install toolbar.
Right. So you run the Purin Utilities.
It also uninstalls. When it uninstalls, it gets rid of the stuff from the obsolete files from your registry that it doesn't need.
Right.
And then it also gets rid of the obsolete program folders that are no longer there that Windows doesn't catch all the time.
Sounds excellent.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And it was running so slow with Viper. I mean, it took like 10 seconds for it to come up, and with Norton, it's there in like 2 seconds.
Well,
there.
If you're running an automatic disk check to defrag, that means it's reading and writing a lot of files. And every time it opens a file, it has to scan it for virus.
Right. Again, one programmer says every time something goes to read or write, check it. Mm-hmm. Another programmer says, oh, this is on the okay list, just let it go.
Or this is coming from the internet, you better scan it. This is on right. the local computer, we'll assume it's okay.
Right. So, this is on the local computer, and we've already scanned it, so I don't have to scan it again.
Yeah.
Well, I downloaded it, and I had to download it because Norton took it off. Norton took that off, and it took my online Bible program off, and it took off my Backblaze program, which I use for online backups. I had to reinstall all of that because Norton took them off.
They shouldn't have taken anything off.
Malicious or something, and I knew it wasn't, personally. I know my own computer.
Right.
So I reinstalled them, and nothing happened. Everything worked just fine. So it just seemed like it ran a lot faster, and then Norton will automatically renew. And the other thing about them is they have what's called online support and live support. You can chat with them live online,
right.
And you can call them if you need to. But same thing with Backblaze. They have online support where you can chat with them online, too.
Right.
A lot of companies are doing that because it's often cheaper than running a telephone support system.
Right.
And the Purin thing, you do need to know what you're doing. I don't recommend running the registry, fixed registry thing at all. I ran it and it deleted some files that I needed.
So I had to say,
I'm telling your users, if you get that program, you download it from Major Geeks, there is no spyware, there's no adware on it. Look for it on MajorGeeks.com,
yep.
And it's called Purin, P-U-R-A-N, Utilities.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, a lot of times those cleaning programs will put up, they'll say they're a free download. We run into this a lot on the Mac. There's a notorious one on the Mac called Mac Keeper, and we keep wondering why they just haven't changed the name to trick more people, because everyone knows Mac Keeper is bad. But it offers a free download, which is stupid because every download is free. And then when you run it, it puts up this giant scary screen about all these, sometimes tens of thousands of problems it could fix if only you paid the $40.
Right.
And it says it's $40 for life. But it means it's for the life of that version. So when a new version comes out, it wants another $40. And the company that publishes it pays affiliates to advertise and resell it. So one of the big problems is there are zillions of ads for Mac Keeper because all these affiliates are advertising their own. So I've been on websites where there's been four ads for Mac Keeper on one website because all the different affiliates. So it's one of these. Technically, it's not bad. But it's such a crappy program and such a crappy marketing scheme and crappy business practices that, just avoid it completely.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Gus from Greece, New York. Welcome, Gus. What's up?
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have a question. I just upgraded to Windows 10.
I can't, Gus, you're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Sorry. I just upgraded to Windows 10. Seems to be working okay, but I have a question.
Can anybody hear him?
Yeah, he just upgraded to Windows 10, and
everything's
working okay except his phone.
No, sorry about that. Yeah. I can call you back.
Oh, now you seem clearer.
Oh, okay. All right. And my question has to do with using Outlook or Windows Live Mail. When I bought the laptop last year, I went to Windows Live Mail, and now I notice that it's asking me if I want to go back and use Outlook again. So what is your guys' recommendation?
Well, Outlook is common in businesses because it does mail, it does calendars, it does tasks, it does appointments.
Yep.
It links all these projects together. If that's something you want to do, then fine. If you just want to get your email, then Windows Live Mail is much simpler, much cleaner, much faster, and much easier to use for a lot of people. There's a lot of overlap between how they look and how they work. It's just Outlook does so much more stuff for business users that home users generally don't need.
Yeah, right. So, but if I if I change it now, it'll just move all my Windows Live Mail stuff over to the Outlook generally?
I don't know.
I don't know that either.
It will download. I don't think so. It will download any new messages on your mail server, but I don't think it will import mail. There's a manual import option where you can tell it to import mail, but but Outlook may not. Knowing Microsoft, Outlook doesn't support Windows Live Mail.
Going backwards.
Okay. That was my question for you guys. Nick, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Is your wife still running the coffee at the market?
Every Saturday, rain or shine, she's there today.
Okay, well, she wasn't there last week.
No, last week.
It was a lot more empty than normal, and we were worried.
Thank you. Many of the vendors at the Rochester Public Market, by the way, you should go. Everybody should go. It's a wonderful place. many of the vendors take that Saturday after Thanksgiving off because they take Thanksgiving off to be with family and travel.
A long weekend.
So it's a long weekend.
Which, ironically, is a busy shopping day because everyone else is off of work.
Yeah, I know.
So the stores can't...
Not Market, though. Market is...
just look more empty than normal.
Well, there's no Black Friday sales at Market. Well, it's just regular Market.
And so a lot of the people take off. But she's there today. She's doing good business. I talked to her earlier. She couldn't even chat with me.
Oh, good. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for your service. It's great.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Have fun. So, yeah. So, we finally dragged her kicking and screaming into the 20th century, not even the 21st. She now has a smartphone. Yes, she was the holdout. Mm-hmm. And today she took her first Square payment. So, she's very excited. She's very, very excited. She took an actual Square payment. A lot of the vendors are starting to do that. You know, at a place like the Public Market, as my wife says, it's wired for carrots.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no phone lines. There's, you know, none of that stuff.
It wasn't meant for it.
Right. So up until very recently, and this is true in a lot of farmers markets around the country.
Yeah.
You can't take credit cards. You can do the ka-chi-ka-chi machine and, you know, whatever, but...
Then you got to go back and hand-enter them and
pay
in the butt.
It's horrible. But with the Square or the PayPal thing, you can just say, all right, here you are. I'll swipe your credit card. It goes in through the... there's a few bytes of data that your allotment takes a hit on. But big deal, it's almost nothing.
And the credit card processing fees are lower than what you get with many merchant accounts.
Yes.
We use the Intuit Reader in our office because it ties into QuickBooks easy.
Right.
And the fee is lower than our regular bank credit card swiper. Even though we've been with the bank for 15 years, they can't give us a lower rate. And we say, well, okay, these guys will, so you're getting less of our business.
Well, because you're still paying for all those points and all that, those special offers that they offer to your customers.
That's
where customers don't understand.
That 2 points you get back on Discover.
Yeah, or these free air miles and everything else. That costs them banks money. And you know what? Yeah, you're getting all that free stuff for using your card. But it's us merchants.
They lose that extra 2%.
That are paying the extra. Yep. And you know what? We can't pass those fees back on to you. Because if we do, we get canceled.
And then New York State takes their 8%.
Yeah.
And the credit card. So New York State makes more money on a sale than we do. The credit card company makes about as much money.
Yeah, double dipping. Yeah.
And that's extra annoying because New York State gets taxed on the credit card fees too.
Right.
So they're both taken right off the top and there's nothing left for us.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's very different from my day. You guys work on almost no margin at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a huge margin when
the glory days. There was a 40% gross margin.
Yep.
So you could give someone 20% off list.
Yeah.
No problem. You know, now you're lucky to get a 5% margin.
Exactly.
And
generally it's 3 or 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of the internet and everything else, you're competing against it. And they go, well, I can go online and get this that much cheaper.
Well, even retail prices have dropped, you know, because of market pressure. Because the retail stores know that they have to compete online.
Right.
It's frustrating. And the average, 20 years ago, the average computer system was $10,000 computer monitor printer software about $10,000. We had a 40% margin. We could sell one or two a week.
Well, that's why I got out of building them.
Yeah,
I mean,
today the average computer system is under $1,000, and you have a 2 or 3 point margin.
And more folks are going to laptops, desktops,
tablets,
are less, and tablets. Laptops and tablets are the thing because again, they're made disposable. We've gotten into being a disposable economy.
I was talking to a friend who works at a big box store in another state, and mm-hmm. and she was saying, I can't tell you the last time we even had a desktop in this building.
Yeah.
She said nobody buys them. Everybody buys laptops, Chromebooks, and tablets.
Yeah.
Yep. We sell those. We can't keep those in stock.
The thing of it is you can turn around and hook your laptop up if you want a big screen.
Yep.
No problem. You can go ahead and hook your laptop up to a big screen. You can have a 30-inch screen or whatever. Use it. You can also use a dual monitor. If you want dual monitors, again, just an inexpensive laptop will do it.
And back in the day, when the difference between a laptop and a desktop was 40%,
yeah,
30%, well, that was a choice you had to make. Now it's the difference between the two is small enough that people make that choice for the extra convenience.
Yep.
Going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you, 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, a member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve, next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, Dennis from Rochester is on the line. Welcome, Dennis. What's up?
Hi, guys. I just had a chance to listen to a snippet or two last week of your show, and I wrote down a couple things. One of them was Von Von, and I think the other, you may have also discussed Fresh.com. Could you repeat either or both of those? Or, I mean, if you discussed both of them, could you repeat what they were about?
Von Von and Von Fresh. Von is a Facebook app.
Okay, was that a bad thing? I mean, I think you guys said something about not using it.
Well, it's one of those quiz things, right? And the problem with any Facebook quiz is that you're giving away information, right?
Okay.
And you know, by the time you're done with that. Von Von is a company that says what are the most used words and who's my soulmate and, you know, all just a million of those things. And by the time you're done, you know, what was the name of your first cat? Well, guess what? For some people, that's a security question.
Ah.
And so they
right?
can, yeah.
So, yeah, what's your, oh, here's how they do it. What's your mafia name? Right? What's your mafia name? Well, it's the name of your first cat. Is your first pet is your first name, and then the street you lived on as a kid is your last name. Well, guess what? Both of those are security questions.
Okay, you so take they're enough. They're able to dig out information and get your and that they might use later on for identity theft is what you're saying. I think.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
I just when people take those quizzes, I cringe. Now I'm not saying that Von Von is a bad place. I don't know anybody at Von Von. I don't know anything about Von Von. But what I do know is they're asking you your security questions.
Okay. I see. All right. I think I'd want to stay a long way away from that. No offense to Von Von.
All of them, not just the ones from Von Von, but they're all like that, right? Every one of those things you go on, they're, well, some of them are asking for, you know, your elf name is the first letter of your first name, the first letter of your last name. There's pretty much no reason not to do that one. That's not hidden knowledge.
But yeah, I don't even want to do a profile. I don't even want to put a profile up in case somebody takes it.
Yep.
Right. So you want to be very careful what you answer in those things. And some people are just freaking addicted to them. I get more requests for those things. I have a friend who has never yet met a Facebook quiz she didn't love. She takes them by the thousands. If she could get paid for it, she would be a multi-billionaire at this point.
Wow.
And people just take them and take them and take them. And they're very dangerous because at some point they start asking you your security questions for places like your bank. Right, so if they get your name and all that other stuff from a breach like we talked about at the top of the show,
mm-hmm.
they still don't have your security questions unless you've answered one of their quizzes.
Oh, and I do remember you saying something about they can also get your friend, they find out who your...
Well, once you've given them access to Facebook, Facebook is, what's the word I'm looking for? Promiscuous. It will give all your information to anybody who asks for it once you've given Facebook permission to let them see anything in your site. So if I take a Von Von quiz, one of the things it's going to say is, you know, can I, because one of the quizzes will be, who's your best friend on Facebook? Oh, that'll be fun to find out. And it'll say, we have to have access to your friends' information. We have to know who your friends are. Sure, why not? So now it's got an in into your friends. Yay. You start getting things that say, Dennis says, try this quiz. Nick says, do this. Steve says, have fun with that. Six of your friends have played such and so. And all of those things are simply because you've given the right to that.
I see. Okay. All right. That's good to know. I want to try and fly under the radar if I can as much as possible.
Yep.
Did you mention something about Fresh.com, or is that just a separate note I wrote to myself having nothing to do with you guys?
I don't remember talking about Fresh.
I don't know what that is, but I'll Google it after I get off the phone with you guys then. I wrote that down for some reason.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't remember talking about Fresh.com at all.
And I'm looking through our posted list.
The only Fresh I know is a skincare product place. So
Fresh Books is in a personal accounting.
Maybe it might have been a gift to look for a gift.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
There you go.
My family member. I don't remember
it's
now.
It's that time of year.
You can give the gift of a membership.
Membership to Jazz 90.1.
Yeah.
Music all year long. It's a beautiful thing.
Yep. That sounds like a good idea, too. Yep. I am a member, just for
Yay.
What it's worth.
Yay!
All right, all set, guys. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
And then on our website at soundbites.org, under Fascinating Stuff, we have our audio archive and video archive. So if you missed something, you can go back and check it out again. And then right on the main page itself, we try to post the links to the news stories we talk about.
Right. And, of course, right at the top of the thing, we have the YouTube link.
Our YouTube live link.
So if you really want to see what we look like, this is where you do it. We're trying to be much more spread out in our media uses.
Multiple multimedia.
Well, and it's all Steve at this point. He's got a Mac, which I think he's by the end of the show, the poor thing is panting and sweating, but it works great. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Peter from Chilai, New York. Chilai?
Hey, gentlemen.
Hi there.
Got a question for you. Kind of a mystery problem I've been having over here.
Uh-oh.
Starting about, 2 months ago, started to experience a problem with wireless devices in my home not being able to connect or losing the connection to the router, and so badly that, like it was a cell phone, you'd actually have to turn off the connection or turn off the Wi-Fi,
right.
Turn it back on, and then everything would be just fine. My son was convinced that our router was just too old and just couldn't handle the volume of traffic. I swapped it out for a newer router with the same problem, and I finally bought a Linksys WRT1900 AC. So that's a pretty high-end router.
Yep.
I am still having the same problems.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Is it every machine or one particular machine?
No, it's a collection of machines. I've got, just about anything.
All right. So here's the problem. We're talking radio.
Yep.
So there are a couple of things you have to be aware of. One is line of sight. So if, for example, you're in the part of the house where there's a refrigerator between you and the router, that's an issue. If you have a device that leaks radio waves, like, say, a microwave.
Yeah, I understand. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. If you are in an apartment building and right outside your window is the junction box for all the apartments.
Or if you can see in your wireless menu, if you see a bunch of neighbors' wireless networks,
yeah,
too.
We're very close to a neighbor who actually runs his business out of his house, and he has a very, very communication-intensive business.
Yeah. There's a couple of things you can try. Wi-Fi has two bands, 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz.
Yep.
Whichever one you're on, try the other one.
Okay.
And there's also 10 or 12 channels in each band. And you can usually have to dig in pretty deep to your wireless network settings to see what channel you're on and switch to a different channel. So if he's on channel 6 and you're on channel 6, there's too much crosstalk. We ran into this years ago with the first battery-powered portable phones. That, you know, you could get your neighbor's phone calls because they're on the same channel as you were. So you had to switch channels.
Yeah, so first try switching the band you're on, 2.4 or 5 gigahertz.
Yeah, like I said, it's a dual band router. And
so your device, the router, you can tell it to publish the 5 gigahertz as a different name, different SSID.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
And then you can pick which one you're using on your computer, your phones, and whatnot.
Right.
Okay, I got one more wrinkle in here, though.
Yeah.
I have not. There's been one time that I experienced a failure of the connection on actually a couple of my wired devices. Now, what I've got is an Aeris 6141 that I purchased myself.
Yeah,
and I was looking at the logs on that, and one of the questions that I have is I've got under the logs, I've got a bunch of things I don't understand that under, they're listed as a priority critical. And what I'm seeing is things like unicast maintenance ranging attempted, no response, retries exhausted, and then, you know, a bunch of MAC address information. And I see this I see it a couple times a day. I also see, you know, still no ranging response received with a T3 timeout, and again, a bunch of MAC address information. Is this something that I should be, you know, concerned about?
Well, you'll get a bunch of those sorts of things. This is you're talking about your cable router.
Yeah, it's my cable modem. Yep.
Are you sure it's the wireless that's cutting out and not the internet itself that's cutting out?
Well, right. That's why I'm asking. You know, most of the time, the wired devices, if they're being used, for streaming, right? You know, my kids and my wife are watching something. And in that case, you know, there's a fair amount of buffering. So if there's an intermittent failure, you might not see it.
Right. Okay, what I would do, how old is that router that you bought?
The Aeris.
The router is brand new. That's the 1900. That's a WRT.
And the
cable modem itself is probably, I got to say, about a year old, maybe.
So you're using the Time Warner cable modem and hooking your own Aeris router to it.
No.
The Aeris is my own cable modem. I got tired of paying.
Do two things. First, are you certain that it is compatible with Time Warner?
Yeah, 6141
right off the list.
Okay, then in that case,
it's one of the higher end ones that they recommend.
In that case, my first inclination would be to return it and trade it in.
If it's less than a year old, try for warranty replacement.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Really? So, can you explain to me what some of these errors are? What do they mean? What is a unicast maintenance ranging thing?
Well, I can't, as we're out of our hour.
That didn't.
A unicast. Okay, here's the deal. There are certain. excuse me. There are certain maintenance things that a network does. And one of the things that it can do is broadcast to everybody or broadcast to a certain receiver. If it's a broadcast, it goes to everybody. If it's a unicast, it goes from one person to another person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if, for example, I have a server on my network that will send music out. I can connect to it and say, I want you to send me big band music. And somebody else could connect and say, I want the latest Taylor Swift album. Those are two different unicasts. Not everybody can hear them because not everybody needs to hear them. There's no reason to put that out on the entire network. So those are unicasts. Unicasts often happen between servers and individual devices. They can also happen between Time Warner and your cable modem. Right? Okay. So every once in a while, Time Warner will say, I have an update, or how are you doing, or I haven't heard from you in a while. And it's not going to send that out to every cable modem out on its network. So it unicasts that to you.
Okay, so question here. This unicast maintenance ranging attempted. Now, is that something that's that my cable modem is attempting to contact Time Warner, or is that going in the other direction?
Unicast maintenance ranging attempted is something coming from Time Warner.
Okay. So how is it then, if it's coming from Time Warner, how come my modem is saying no response, retries exhausted, if it didn't see it?
I honestly don't. That's a question for Time Warner.
It's expecting to see something and not. And right. So that could be a problem with your router, or it could be a problem with Time Warner's router.
Okay, because I had tried to talk to Time Warner about this, and unfortunately, yeah. The individual I was dealing mm-hmm. with, I actually kind of unfortunately understood a little bit more than she did, and that didn't.
Is the cable light blinking?
Yeah.
But I would say that it sounds like the connection between you and Time Warner is not 100%. I would get them to come in
if
and check.
If the wire hasn't been replaced in a while, that could be an issue too.
Exactly.
All right.
I would start
Time
there.
Warner. I'll try to see if I can talk to somebody who understands a little.
Perfect.
Bit.
Thanks.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, you've wasted another hour of your life at this nonsense, but we're going to give you another chance at it because we're only halfway done. We'll be back on the other side of the business with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 1 p.m., and we will be back here with another hour of sound bites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Sound Bites, on member supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, hurtling headlong into the second hour here on the 5th of December. Remember. And our first caller in our second hour is Larry from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Larry. What's up?
Well, I'm running a laptop. It's my 3-year-old laptop on Windows 7. And in Chrome, I frequently have a thing where I'll open a new tab and put in a search. And, like, nothing happens. And I put it in a second time, and it happens.
So you open a new tab.
Yeah. Which is default to Google search.
Right. And then
I try and do a search, and I got nothing. Sometimes it'll go just to a blank Google screen. Sometimes it just hangs out in the limbo of some sort. Then when I do it a second time, the search works.
Do you see the little progress bar moving as it's loading the search
page? Sometimes it'll just end and go right to a blank Google.com screen where it's lost all of the information I put in for the search.
I've seen this happen in other browsers, too. It's loading your home page, and until it loads your home page, it's going to ignore anything you typed.
Okay.
And if it takes a second or two to load the home page, then what you've typed is sort of gone. So one of the options is in the Chrome settings or any browser settings, you can tell it what to do when a new tab opens. And you can tell it to open a specific page, or you can tell it to open an empty page.
Okay. The other issue I'm getting in also in Chrome is frequently hangs. It just stops on shockwave flash.
Oh, yeah, well. When was the last time you updated Chrome?
Directly, it's probably been a month. I thought it updated itself, but I can go back and update again if that's
just to be safe.
Yeah, because one of the things, of course, is that, well, we've spoken enough against Flash. I think that.
Yeah,
well, did you hear what happened?
Adobe. The website has it. So.
Yeah.
Right.
Adobe is. Discontinuing Flash and renamed it to something else.
Yeah, they're renaming it. They didn't actually discontinue it.
They didn't discontinue the technology. They're discontinuing the name.
The name, right. That's like changing IE to Edge.
Edge, yeah.
It's the same junk. It's just a different name.
Different page.
But yeah, so I would make sure that you're running the latest version of Chrome. The other thing is, how much memory do you have?
Three
gigs.
How many tabs do you have open at once?
Right.
Bunches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many extensions do you have loaded?
Yeah.
Add-ons.
I don't think there are many extensions running.
Well, but here's the deal. Yeah.
Actually are two different things.
But here's the deal. What really any modern operating system is, and the files that run on it, or the programs that run on it, are really going to want 4 gig as a minimum.
Yeah. Okay. I've got two extensions.
Having three. Does mean that you're going to do a lot of swapping. So that'll slow it down right there.
Yeah, it's dying anyway, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Time for a new computer.
Well, I knew that. I just didn't know if it was a hardware issue, then I'll just live with it. If it was something I could do in the software, then I'd change it. Okay.
Try a different browser, see if it happens differently. But it sounds like it's just not enough oomph.
Okay, so I just got to be more patient on when I start my search.
Yep.
Right.
And if it won't run Shockwave, I'll live with it. Okay.
Yeah, I think a large part of it is not having enough memory.
Yeah, okay.
All righty.
Yep, thanks a lot. Have a blessed day.
Thanks, you too. Mm-hmm.
I know people that are just so impatient. They'll click a link, nothing happens for a second, they'll click it again. Well, that means you started over. You lost that time it was already trying to load, and you clicked it again, it started over.
Right. A lot of people don't look to see the little circle
moving
at the top, and they think nothing's happening. The other thing, of course, is that he is running Windows 7, which in and of itself requires 4 gig.
Yeah.
Plus, he's running Chrome, which wants a lot of memory, and he's only running 3 gigs. So,
yeah. Well, we've said for the longest time, the more memory you give Windows 7, the better it lights it.
Yeah.
And, you know, 4 gig is minimum.
Yep.
Minimum. 8 or 16 is even better. Go 32. Whatever you give it, it's going to use it, and you're going to be much happier with it.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Greece, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's up?
Okay, I have a quick question on updates under Windows 10. I've got a new computer, and I had them install it with... My user account was a local account. I did not want to use my Microsoft account that I set up on a previous computer. And my question is on automatic updates on Windows 10. I went in there last night and tried. It said that an update was ready, and I tried to download it, and it was telling me that I had to log into my Microsoft account to get it. And I have a Microsoft account. If I do that, I think what's going to happen, it's going to force me to log on to my computer every time with that account. Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Now, the curious thing is while I sat here waiting to talk to you folks, I went to the update on Windows 10, and now it's telling, and I have not changed that account. It's still a local account. And I'm saying right now it's saying that a cumulative update for Windows 10 version 1511 for X46 is available.
Yep.
And if I just click restart now, it'll bring it down.
Try it.
So It does. So my question is, I think you were saying that do you have to have your signed into your Windows account in order for automatic updates to work, as far as you guys know?
You don't have to be, but if you aren't, they happen slower.
Okay. All right, so I may have to do if I do that, I can always convert it back, my administrator account, back to a local account, correct?
Probably yes.
It's a question you have in your voice.
Oh, yeah.
I do have a question in my voice.
I would expect you can go forward, but not backwards.
Okay.
You think? Yeah, all right. I'll
I don't know for sure, but okay. Knowing Microsoft, you can't go backwards.
That's why I wanted to talk to somebody first before I did it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, here, I just found a website that we've been scanning through, and it says you can convert your Microsoft account to a local account.
You can, okay.
So let me just publish this whole thing here.
Oh, very nice. That's perfect.
Yeah, that answers that question. The other problem I had went away this morning as well. I have a local network set up with four computers.
Yeah.
This is a real test, all of which are running a different version of Windows. Why are you laughing?
No, I'm happy for you. Go ahead.
Well, let me talk. Well, I went through the entire setup with the advanced options and everything. And I have it all. Before I bought the Windows 10 computer, the Windows 8, the Windows 7, and the XP computer talked to each other just fine. Okay, not a problem. In fact, I had two Windows 7 computers. I replaced the Windows 7 computer because the motherboard went with the Windows 10. When I brought the Windows 10 computer up, I was able to see the Windows 8 computer, but not the Windows 7 or the XP. Every other computer in the house, 7, XP, and 8, could see the Windows 10 computer and communicate back and forth with it. I went crazy. I couldn't find anything that would fix that. I don't know. This morning I logged in, and now it's all right. So I don't know what the heck happened, but it was driving me nuts.
Sometimes things that break themselves will fix themselves.
Yeah, apparently so. But so that's a problem that isn't a problem anymore, I hope.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, but thanks for your advice on the login account and the updates, and I'll go from there.
Yeah, good luck.
Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye.
And that sort of happens. You buy computers over the years, and it comes with the OS it comes with, and many people don't bother upgrading. And I ran into this with a customer this week, too. There's a difference between the free updates that you get and the pay upgrades that you get. And Apple, a couple of years ago, started doing pay upgrades. Microsoft now with this Windows 10 is now, a free upgrade. And with Windows 10 is a free upgrade. But Apple has always marked the major upgrades with a major version number, and it doesn't come as a free update. You get a notice that an upgrade is available. So people with Windows 7 and Windows 8 for the last, 6, 8, 10 months it was, you got that. You can upgrade to Windows 10. But if you don't want to, you don't have to. And the big problem is compatibility with the stuff you have. So especially when something major changes, you want to make sure all your stuff is compatible before you upgrade. But some people just don't ever bother upgrading. And then you get too far behind and stuff stops working. So there's this catch-22 about, if I upgrade, my stuff will stop work. If I don't upgrade, my stuff will stop working.
Right. Yeah. Also, don't forget, you only have until the end of June next year to get that free Windows 10 upgrade.
And we'll see what happens after that.
Right.
If they're going to continue it free or they're going to start charging for it.
Well, they've already said they're moving to a subscription model.
We all expect it's going to be an annual subscription to use Windows.
Yep.
Because that's good for them.
Right.
Not necessarily good for the customer. It's good for the company. It's good for the stockholders,
right?
Which is all that matters.
Which is all that matters. If you are a publicly traded customer, a publicly traded company, your only customer is the shareholder. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Joe from Cheek.
Tawaga, New York.
There we go.
I'll say, having done Microsoft administration professionally, yeah, that's just real black magic voodoo because, something's not working. You'll try this. That didn't work. You'll try that. That didn't work. You go to lunch, come back from lunch. Wait, it's working again. What happened here?
Yep.
That's just very frustrating sometimes. The guy that was talking about getting errors in his modem about ranging, I can explain that for you. DOCSIS, the standard that's used between you and the cable company to get your internet over cable, That's very much cable company-centric. That was laid out that way. Basically, you can't really do anything on the network unless the cable company says, oh, yes, you may do this, you may do that. In this particular caller's case, what's happening is his modem is saying, I'm here, and then waiting and waiting and waiting, and then the cable company is supposed to send back to you, oh, okay, I hear you, here's what you should do. Ranging is the process by where you say, I'm here, and then Cable Central tells you, you're coming in a little too loud. Would you please reduce your transmit power by a little bit? Or, I can hardly hear you. Could you, you know, step it up a little bit? So, as you can imagine, there's all kinds of timeouts for that. It's like, you say, I'm here, and you don't hear anything, so you say, I'm here again. So, they're all labeled T1, T2, T3, T4.
Right.
They're all progressively longer times. Generally, when you get to T4, the cable modem's assumes something's very, very wrong and will reboot. And you're absolutely right. This caller should get in touch with their cable company and ask them, hey, what's up? Are you seeing things on your end with my cable modem that says I'm not getting enough signal strength, it's noisy, or whatever?
Right.
As far as Wi-Fi troubles, there's one thing I'd really like to emphasize for people. Unfortunately, when that whole thing was laid out, they put the channels really close together. So they actually overlap when they're being used. The only practical choices are in the United States are 1, 6, and 11. If you use any other channel, all you're going to be doing is interfering with people that follow that convention.
Right. Well, one of the things that you can do, of course, is if you have a smartphone, you can download an app that shows you what's available on your network, and you can see if you've got the right app and got it in the right mode, you can see what channel things are on. So I've done that at home, by the way, and so
I'm on channel 11 right now.
Right, I see that there is a free channel that nobody else is using. Of course, I'm going to jump on that one. And it's far enough away from everybody else, there's no interference, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's the problem. If you're on Channel 6 and someone else is on Channel 5, they'll still interfere.
Right.
Yeah. I'm particularly partial to Wi-Fi Analyzer on Android. And yes, it has wonderful all kinds of graphs. So the one I like the most is a channel diagram where it'll actually show you half ellipses is the best way to describe it. Where
listen,
it'll show
Joe,
you the signal strength
Joe,
of the particular access point in the area.
Joe, we got it. We got to take a break.
Okie dokie.
Thank you, Joe. Back in just a couple of minutes. Soundbites member supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Mark from Greece, New York on the line. Welcome, Mark. What's up?
Good afternoon. I'm calling about wireless problems, too.
Yeah.
And I have a router through Time Warner of a UB, and they were out a couple months ago, and I, for other reasons, and I told them, I said, I keep losing my wireless connection, and he changed me over to channel 11, and I was at 2.4 gigahertz, and we were using it. And as he was here, I was lucky; it went out again.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is—we're talking about a great room, so there's no walls in between the router and where we were. And I lost everything on the network. And he went in and he changed to 5 gigahertz, and that did nothing to fix the problem. And then he went back to 2.4, and then he told me, well, you know, your phone is a little close to your router. And I said, well, Jesus, that's a 6 gigahertz phone. We're running at 2.4. He goes, well, you know, you should move it. So I went through the arduous task of moving that because it was really convenient where it was. And
right.
It crept up again. And they have no reason why it keeps happening, but yet they won't swap my modem. You
right,
know,
right,
they,
right.
They're like, no, it's something in your house. It's something in your house. The only way I can get this thing to come back on is either to reboot it, or if I log into the router and I go into the primary network, turn off the wireless, leave it off for a second, then turn it back on, and then everything comes on again.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Just turning off the wireless and turning it back on. I never lose my Ethernet ports. Those always work when this problem arises. Yet it says, you know, the network, the wireless network's on, but yet nothing can connect to it.
Yeah, see, that, again, leads me to think there's some sort of interference going on. I mean, we used to see that at a particular room at RIT. In the middle of classes, that whole room would just disappear from the network wirelessly. And we finally figured out that on the other side of the wall was a snack center with a microwave.
Yeah.
And when somebody turned on the microwave, it killed every data connection in the room.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be in that room. It can be close enough and put out enough noise to affect that room.
I wish mine was as easy as a microwave. A lot of times I'm sitting here in the middle of the day and it just happens with nothing else on, just me on my tablet.
How close is your neighbor's house? And where's their microwave?
The neighbor behind me does not have, doesn't even have cable. And my other neighbor on the other side, they're about 50, 60 feet away, but where their cable connection, where their computer is on the far side of the house, furthest away from me.
Wow. Here's the problem when we alluded to this earlier. We're now talking about radio, which spews everywhere. So it could be you, it could be a neighbor, it could be who knows. It's a terrible thing to see. But, you know, clearly if you never lose connectivity to the internet via wired, then the problem is with the wireless side of things. But again, as to whether or not that's a hardware problem, a software problem, or a social problem, because somebody else is doing something nearby,
right?
I don't know. You got to track that down.
And that's the thing, though. It's a growing concern because, you know, more and more folks with the internet and the routers in your neighborhood can definitely cause cross-reference, you know, interference.
You may want to download one of the Wi-Fi analyzers and see. Mm-hmm. What else?
Right,
so that would only show you Wi-Fi signals, microwave signals. If one of your neighbors a ham radio operator, any radio signal. 2.4 gigahertz is often called the junk band because that's where everyone uses it. You don't have to get a special license from the FCC, and
often when you buy a router, it comes 2.4.
Right. And so it's very easy to have interference on that frequency band, even if it's not in your house. Or what you can do is put a Faraday cage around that great room,
yeah.
And that will prevent any signals from getting in or out, so they stay in your room.
I love it. My wife would love that.
Yeah, no, never mind the chicken wire, honey. It's going to make the internet better.
Yeah, right. But yeah, I agree with Steve. If you download one of the analyzers, you get a better picture of what's where in your area.
Right. I'm beginning to think it's hardware because it's bizarre. Whenever I turn off that wireless network, instead of rebooting the modem and then turning it back on, it'll take a week to 10 days and it'll creep back in again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll do it again in about a week to 10 days. You know, between 7 and 10 days, it'll come back.
It could also be a hardware issue.
Yeah.
You could try taking your cable modem into a Time Warner office and say, it's not working, give me a new one.
Yeah, the one problem I had is I was reluctant to let them put one modem in my house for phone and internet.
Oh, yeah.
Because the modem would have had to bend way over on the other side of the house, and they would do nothing about, you know, connecting Ethernet to it. They would just put it in and say either connect to it wirelessly or run an Ethernet cable, and which I have a finish downstairs, wasn't feasible. So I had to put two modems in. And the problem is every time I've tried to swap this thing out, it takes me 2 days to get my internet back because they keep turning my phone off.
Shut the other one off, too, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I've just got to tell them they need to come out here and fix this thing because it's just too much for me to handle to do it on my own, and they always turn the wrong one off.
Yep. And you could even ask for a credit for your interrupted service. We've heard of people getting that, too.
I tried that. They said no.
Yeah.
But I'll keep trying. That's all
yeah,
I can
do. Yeah, do keep trying and keep us informed as to what happens. Because
I will. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, call back, get a different person. You might get a different answer.
Well, and that happened. I had an issue that went on 4 months, and we don't even know how it was resolved. But by the time we were done, they had replaced every conceivable box, wire, and connector.
Yeah.
From my cable modem. Now I don't have. I have green light, but from my cable box.
Mm-hmm.
That we replaced the cable box as well.
Right.
And in fact, they even went so far as to replace the coax cables between the box and the television.
Right. So it may not be the cable box itself. It may be one of the coaxes, you know, right, between the box and the TV, between the box and the wall, in the wall to the main trunk, from the trunk to the pole outside. And most of the technicians don't want to go through that kind of labor. So, oh, we'll just swap your box out, and then I'll let someone else come and handle the other part.
What's interesting is one guy came in and completely replaced every box on the outside of the house. And I went outside and saw that it had been done. Indeed, it had been done.
You used to have squirrels chew through it, right?
Well, that's a different story. And then about 3 days later, we had a different guy come out, and he's mumbling to himself. I come out to see what's going on. I say, what's going on? He says, whoever wired this was an idiot. How long has this been this way? No wonder it's not working. Oh, okay. Fine. Whatever. Yeah, but we also have...
Use green wire, not blue wire.
Yeah, right. We also have squirrels chew the line out at the pole. The line that goes out to the pole. And so every 2 years we have to replace that. They don't even ask that anymore. They've got a note somewhere in the file. They just know to come out and do that. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Paul from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Paul. What's up?
Hi. I've got two questions. The first one is I did a speed test on my wireless internet connection using something called speed test.
Sure.
And I got a rating for download speeds of 17.5 megabits per second and upload of 1.2 megabits per second. Is that considered good for a high-speed internet connection?
Well, it depends on what you're paying for. It sounds like you're paying for 20 down and 2 up.
Yeah.
And so if you are, then it's good. If you're paying for 50 down and 5 up, then it's bad. Check your bill to see what you're paying for.
Yeah.
Also, too, the speedtest.net team seems to have a lot of, there's a lot of ads on it. And I get some really weird results every now and then from it. And it requires flash, which is a little annoying.
That is annoying.
I've been using speedof.me, which is HTML, and then m.speedof.me is designed mobile. For mobile, and so it's even less ads and even less cruft.
Now, were you using the Time Warner speed test?
It's a program that I downloaded from the internet. It's called Speed Test. That's the name of the program, actually. Speed Test.
Is it from speedtest.net, which is the company that,
that
usually makes them? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there are two sites that you should really be looking at. For a speed test,
Time Warner Syracuse is the best one to pick.
Right.
That's where what comes up on the page.
Okay, good.
Syracuse, yes.
Yeah, that's good. You can also go to speedtest.nyrock.rr.com. You can also go to timewarner.com, timewarnercable.com/en/support/speedtest.html. The reason that I say those is because if you're actually doing the speed test on Time Warner's network, you get a much better result, from those things. But you're right; there, you know, it's all flash these days, and it's hard to handle. I'm with Greenlight, so I have FiberTech.
Oh.
You're
golden then. Okay.
Yeah. I'm very, very fast. I'm very fast. Don't tell them I'm faster than
I should be. I have a second question. I go quickly. I know you've been talking about Windows 10 a little bit earlier. I tuned in a bit late. I've been delaying upgrading from Windows 7 to 10 as long as I could so everybody else could be beta.
Keep delaying.
I should keep delaying.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've got another system in right now. This is the second one that Windows went in halfway going from Windows 7 to Windows 10.
Okay.
And trying to go backwards.
It's impossible.
It says, nope, sorry, no good restore point to take back. So it's to the point where now I'm going to have to back up all this person's data.
Right.
Strip the machine down and totally put Windows 7 back in there from scratch.
Yeah. See, I'm going to delay as long as I can, I guess, until June.
You got it.
Well, June is the latest. Now, right. here's the here's uh, Yeah, I think, you know, June is the latest, so do what you got to do. Wait as long as you can wait. But you, once, you know, once you commit, here's the thing. What we're seeing is that if the Windows 10 upgrade goes well, Windows 10 will run well from then on. If the upgrade does not go well,
your host,
just take a hammer to it.
Yeah.
You're probably better off.
So in preparing to upgrade to Windows 10 or on the Mac, upgrading to the next OS, make sure you have a good working backup before you do the upgrade.
Yeah, I use Crash Plan for that. Yep.
Check all of your programs to make sure they're compatible with the new version.
That's a biggie.
Especially third-party programs. So usually, I shouldn't say that. Usually Microsoft's own programs work with Microsoft's own
OS.
Don't
say that.
Don't say that.
No.
The latest versions thereof. So if you're running like Office 2003, Office 2007, that may not work. If you're running Office 2016, that may not work.
Yeah.
There were problems. Yeah. Office 2016 and Mac 10.11 mm-hmm. didn't work well together.
Right.
So that 2011, 2013 seems to be the sweet point for Office.
Right.
You know, check third-party programs before you do the upgrade. If you have a name brand PC, you know, HP, Compaq, Toshiba, you can often go to their website and they will have specific upgrade instructions for the drivers in your computer. If you have a home built or custom built PC, you'll need to go to the driver site for each of your companies.
Yeah, it is home built. Yes.
So it becomes a daunting prospect, and you know it's more than an afternoon. It might be a whole weekend. Of making sure all your drivers are up to date or ready to be updated when the Windows goes in. Or just wait till you get a new computer that has Windows 10 already on.
I had a bad experience with Windows ME, so I don't want to go back to that again.
Yeah.
Well, Leah, the good news is that Microsoft is indeed moving forward better than they ever were before. So I don't think we'll see the Windows ME fiasco anytime soon. But
it took them twice, though, because after the ME fiasco, right. We had the Vista fiasco.
And now Windows 8.
And Windows
8 is not a bad product. It just has that stupid front end that nobody liked.
It wasn't a technology problem.
That was an issue. I mean, that was a problem for them because...
But it wasn't a technology problem.
No, because right out of the box, nobody liked it. Sales dumped.
Yep.
Right. Well, but... And the difference is, of course, in terms of ME and Vista...
Oh, yeah.
They just sucked.
Mm-hmm.
8
You're
runs
about to tell
fine.
Me.
8 runs fine. It just looks
completely
the front end is stupid.
Well, as a matter of fact, I just had another person call and wanted me to upgrade him from Windows 7 to Windows 10. And I said, sorry, at this point, no. I won't do it. I don't want to be responsible because, I'm sorry, these updates, they sit there and put out another major upgrade to it, you know, a patch for it, and that's even messed up. So there's no big hurry. I'm telling folks, wait until May, the beginning
of
May.
Or even boxes off the screen saying, upgrade now before it's too late, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, too late is next June. So if you wait until May, set a reminder on your calendar or a note, put a note on your calendar for next year in May, May 1st, look at Windows 10 then.
Yeah, or even just wait till you get a new computer. And that will come preloaded with Windows 10, pre-qualified for Windows 10.
Well, you're spending my money now.
Yeah.
Better yours than ours.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we got to take a break. Thanks. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you, 39 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
The tropical heat wave. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Steve Ray. 50 degrees. Wow, it's hot.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we're sweltering at Soundbites. And we have James on the line. Welcome, James. What's up?
Yes. What is the best ad blocker for Internet Explorer? I put the uBlock Origin on Chrome. And does that automatically block everything, video, and still?
Well, nothing blocks everything.
Uh-huh.
But uBlock Origin is my favorite because it blocks all the same exact stuff that AdBlock Plus blocks, but it's much lighter weight, so it happens faster, takes less memory, yada, yada, yada. So I really like it right now.
Explorer or only Chrome?
I don't know that.
Oh, because I tried putting it on. So what would you recommend for Internet Explorer?
Don't use Internet Explorer.
Well, exactly.
But if you have to. Which ad blocker?
Oh, dear. I don't think... I don't think it's available for it. So
well, is there anything
I would
else
try,
I could put
I would,
on
yeah, the block? I would try AdBlock Plus.
AdBlock Plus?
The one problem we're seeing with AdBlock Plus is that companies can pay them to not block the ads.
But it's still better than nothing.
It's certainly better than nothing.
Yeah. Does that keep video and still ads out of there?
Well, does it keep video ads out? It depends on where the video ads are coming from. It blocks an ad by blocking an ad service.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it knows it's an ad. YouTube is notorious. They'll run a pre-roll ad before the video you want to run. It may not block that because it's coming from YouTube. It's not coming from an ad service.
All right, it'll block the best possible.
Right. So, and then YouTube has now got their YouTube Red service. So for $10 a month, you can watch YouTube with no ads.
I don't watch it that much, but also on the Windows 7, I have that. I mean, you don't have to go to Windows 10; you can just leave that, right?
Yeah, you can ignore the Windows 10 upgrades. Eventually, Microsoft will force you to upgrade. So you may have to disable automatic upgrades.
You definitely want to upgrade before the end of June next year.
Oh, so you would have to go to Windows 10 by June of next year.
Right, because otherwise, after that, it will not be free. And Microsoft is going to stop supporting Windows 7.
When?
So you're going to, soon thereafter, and so you're going to have to go to something. So you might as well get the free version of the operating system, right?
Yeah, or if I end up buying a new laptop.
It'll come with it.
So I'll decide before June then.
Yep, yep.
Otherwise, you'll have to pay for 10. And 7 will be no good after June?
No. 7 will still be around for a while. In fact,
the support for Windows 7 has already degraded.
Right.
So when will that completely go away?
We're frantically Googling it now. You got it first.
The mainstream support ended January 13th, 2015. Last January, almost a year ago.
Okay.
There is still extended support, but people don't really seem to understand what extended support means. Extended support is for companies who are paying Microsoft directly to maintain support, or for really, really bad security updates.
Yeah. So if I'm going to keep this laptop after June, I should install 10.
Well, even now, Microsoft has stopped updating Windows 7.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, for the free version. Yeah.
Right, right. So if you want to keep that laptop and you want to continue to use Windows, you can always put Linux on it and run it forever. But if you want to keep Windows, then our suggestion, and first, you really want to have 4 gigs of RAM minimum. But our suggestion is that before the end of June, you upgrade.
Yeah. Is there, does Dave still have his place? I can take it in and let him do it?
Yeah. Just give me a call.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Yeah, that's one of the things people ask us a lot in the store. Is the upgrade easy? Sometimes.
But the thing of it is...
Until it's not.
But the thing of it is, though, and just so he knows, and I know he's still listening, I won't do it until after next year.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sorry. I don't want to be responsible.
Make sure everything is compatible.
Well,
first.
We always wait for the first service pack.
Well, the thing of it is, though, is with this right now, the reason I'm so leery... Because you're not going to want to take the time and pay me the first check out all the applications that are on your machine to make sure that they're going to work with Windows 10.
Right.
Folks just think, well, just go ahead and put Windows 10 on it.
Especially that 10-year-old accounting program you're using.
Yes, there's a lot
that you rely on for your business.
And then they're going to sit there and say, well, why is it so much? You're only putting the operating system on it. They don't get it.
Yep.
That there is a lot more involved just throwing an operating system on there, just like two clients already have found out due to the, you know, programs not working right. And the crash, what I call the crash point of being able to roll back to Windows 7 is not there because it didn't go in right.
Right. And a large part of that has to do with how old is that machine and how full of cruft is the registry.
Especially if it's an old Windows 7 machine that's been around 3 years or more.
And how much memory does it have and how's the hard drive. When I bought my laptop, I finally bought, like I said, a Windows laptop to teach a particular course that I ended up not teaching. But I bought a Windows laptop. It was Windows 8.1. And the instant I could upgrade it to 10, I did. But it was essentially brand new. There was nothing added or removed, so the registry was still clean. And it had 8 gigs of RAM. And the upgrade went smoothly and perfectly.
Yeah.
If I were going to upgrade an old machine, the first thing I would have to do is clean out the registry. The second thing I would have to do is check every one of the programs to make sure they were compatible, and then do the upgrade.
And if
that takes time, and you don't want to pay for that. So now what do we say?
If you've had that program, that computer long enough to, say, have upgraded from XP to 7 to 8 to 10, you know, that adds even more complications.
Right. All right, back to the phones. It's Gerd from Victor, New York. Welcome, Gerd. What's up?
Well, I have 3 Gmail accounts, and I did that PWNED thing.
Oh, have I been pwned? Yeah.
And 2 of my Gmail accounts say, oh no, pwned. And one doesn't say anything. What does one do now?
Never use that account again.
Well, the first thing you want to do is change the password for those 2 accounts.
Okay.
Wouldn't hurt to change the password for all 3 accounts. I know you are not reusing passwords, but if by accident you happen to have the same password on the unpwned account as on the other 2, make sure you change all 3 and make sure you change them all to something different.
And if you happen to use that password on a different service than Gmail, then change the password there too. So one of my accounts was pwned in the Adobe breach.
Well, that's what this one is too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So make sure you change that. Like we said at the top of the show, always make sure that your passwords are all unique to each service.
Yeah, I understand that.
So do that. Then check all of your mail.
Okay.
To make sure that there's nothing untoward in there.
Okay.
Right? So just check it all. I realize that takes a lot of time and effort, but really you need to do that.
Well, I can erase them all, too.
Sure. Then just get rid of them. If you don't need them, get rid of them. And that will clean out your account, go through all the settings, and make sure nothing weird has happened. If they've attached it to a particular program, unattach it, right? Stop using that program, erase it, et cetera, et cetera. And if you do all of that and do it carefully, you should then be fine.
Very good. Thank you. And I am, of course, a member.
We know that, Gerd. Thank you very much. We love to have you as one.
You got it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yep. And that's frustrating. We often talk about 2 different classes of accounts. There's accounts you might log in, might create to log in to do, you know, forums and chats and questions. You know, Adobe, I had to get into their tech support. I had to make an Adobe account. And then there's accounts you use to log into places for money, you know, so your bank, you know, PayPal, Amazon. Adobe was another one where you might buy an Adobe product online. So you have to have an Adobe account for that. And so if there's no money involved in your account, it may not need as long a password. You know, 15 characters might be enough. But if there's money involved, then you definitely want to have a lot more characters in your password.
Right. All right. So that particular noise, excuse me, music, tells me that we are done for another week. I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to apologize to those of you to whom we did not get. Call earlier and more often next week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We will be back next week with a whole lot. Did we run out of time already? A whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best music Don Elhard ever heard. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on the truly great and solely member supported Jazz 90.1.